Fastamai, good evening. The bells of St George's Church, the civic church of the island's capital town of Douglas, welcome you to a national service of reflection, organised at the request of the Isle of Man government in recognition of all that has happened over the last months as a result of COVID-19, and described in the order of service as a gathering in prayer and reflection as we mourn for those who have died, weep with those who weep, and give thanks for those who labour faithfully for all our sakes. The service you're about to hear was recorded this morning with a full congregation representing both Manx church and state. Mr. Speaker and the Chief Minister, with members of council and members of the legislature, were there, alongside the Chief Constable, the Chief Fire Officer, the Mayor and Mayoress of Douglas, Chief Executives and the Judiciary, local authority representatives and representatives of the island's Christian churches, alongside leaders of other world faiths. The service begins with a word of welcome from the Archdeacon, the Venerable Andy Brown, who, in addition to being the Vicar of St George's, is also Chaplain to the House of Keys.
Welcome to this national service of reflection on what has been a challenging year so far for this island and for these islands and for the whole world. And so we meet in prayer and reflection as we ponder these things in this house of prayer. A very warm welcome to one and all. We meet in the presence of God, who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. Lord God, the maker and redeemer of all, as we come before you in grief and praise this day, comfort us with your presence, make us attentive to your voice, and sustain us with the hope of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Archdeacon now moves to the foot of the chancel steps to receive the Royal British Legion County Standards and the Manx National Standard as the bearers bring them into church. During this, the congregation stand to sing the opening hymn, based on the words of Psalm 100, "All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice." The singing of all the hymns today is led by the choir of St George's Church, augmented by members of the government choir. And the organist is Mr Nicholas Roberts, the resident organist and musical director at St George's, making a welcome return to the church today after a long period of serious illness. In fact, this is the first service for which Mr Roberts has played after an absence of 5 months. The hymn will be followed by prayers led by Reverend Richard Hall, leader of the Methodist Church on the island, and Monsignor John Devine, senior priest in the island's Roman Catholic community.
Thank you. As we gather to remember those we have lost, especially those on this island, but all across the British Isles and beyond, we hear this ancient cry to God from the Hebrew Scriptures, which Christians call the Old Testament. It is still used in synagogues and churches around the world. Psalm 130, please join in the responses. Out of the depths I have called to you, Lord. Let your ears be open to hear my voice. My hope is in God's word. If you recorded all our sins, who could come before you? My hope is in God's word. There is forgiveness with you. Therefore, we hold you in awe. My hope is in God's word. My soul is longing for the Lord more than those who watch for daybreak. My hope is in God's word. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. My hope is in God's word.
Father, we commend to your faithful love those who are crying from the depths. Help them to watch and pray through their time of darkness, in sure hope of the dawn of your forgiveness and redemption. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The next reading is by Mr. Leonard Singer on behalf of the island's Jewish community, and it'll be followed by the lighting of 24 candles, each candle representing one of the loved ones who died of COVID-19 on the island. After all the candles are lit, the Chief Minister, the Honourable Howard Quayle, will lead a moment of prayer. This will be followed by another Bible reading, read this time by the Speaker of the House of Keys, the Honourable Juan Watterson.
This reading is from the Hebrew Scriptures, Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 26. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The prophet sits in the ruins of Jerusalem, mourning that which is lost, but comes at last to a realization of hope and faith. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen.
Now, an opportunity to light a candle in remembrance of the 24 victims of the virus here on this island. And the bishop is going to begin this in a moment. And after that, I'd like to invite anybody who would care to come forward and light a candle in remembrance of those who've died. Perhaps you're a member of a family or a friend. Please do so. And the bishop will hand you a taper lit from our Easter candle, which Christians for 2,000 years have lit as their first act of worship on Easter Day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to celebrate the gift of eternal life.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you. Lord of all, our breath and being come from you, yet our earthly end is dust. Bring us in your mercy through the grave and gate of death to the feast of eternal life, where you reign for evermore. Amen.
A reading from the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. This is the second reading from the Bible.
We stand to sing a fairly modern hymn that reflects on God's love even in the darkest of times. We stand to sing Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer.
The reading from the Gospel according to Matthew is given by the Mayor of Douglas, Councillor Jonathan Jockin, and it's followed by a response led by Pastor John Powell of Onchan Elim Pentecostal Church.
The reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said to the crowd around him, "Come to me, all you that are weary are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light."
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust.
You are the God of my salvation.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
In you I hope all the day long.
O my God, in you I trust.
Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust.
The address at this morning's service was given by the Lord Bishop of Sodre and Man, the Right Reverend Peter Eagles, who is also a member of the Legislative Council.
Be with me. Be with me when my light is low, when the blood creeps and the nerves prick and tingle and the heart is sick and all the wheels of being slow. Be near me when the sensuous frame is racked with pangs that conquer trust, and time a maniac scattering dust, and life a fury slinging flame. Be near me when I fade away to point the term of human strife, and on the low dark verge of life, the twilight of eternal day. The poet is Tennyson, and those were words written in the middle of the 19th century. We know Tennyson, of course, for the Charge of the Light Brigade and many other things. But in that poem, In Memoriam Arthur Henry Hallam, he writes at great length about the nature of human life and mortality, about human death, and particularly about the relationship between our knowledge of what it means to be a human being, and those things that we don't know, those things that we don't understand. And there are many things still that we don't understand, and that perhaps are best put into words through poetry, through art, through music, and through some of the media that we use as we gather today in reflection. Because in the end, life is not supposed to be like this. We're supposed to know where we're going. Surely we understand enough about ourselves, and science tells us enough about ourselves to know that we can predict the future, to know that we hold our own destiny in our hands, and to know that we can control life as we will. But is that really so? And how might we reflect back on these past 6 months or so, taking ourselves back possibly to February or March, when it became apparent that things were not necessarily as we thought they would be? And those words of Tennyson about time being a maniac scattering dust, about life a fury slinging flame, that is what has come to us. We have had life and time presenting themselves to us in ways that we do not fully understand. And how can that be? If I speak with scientists and geneticists particularly, they tell me that viruses have been here probably for 3 billion years, that they are vast and numerous, that they outnumber human beings and animals on our planet, that they support ecosystems and are essential to life, And all of that is true. And I'm also told that, in fact, 8% of the human genome consists of virus. So these are things that have been with us always and upon which we depend and are part of the delicate balance of life that is held in being. So how can it be that suddenly some aspect of that slips out of our control, that one of those infinite viruses in a particular form or mutation can come and cause us such damage? And I reflect back to March also, and to a meeting of the House of Bishops when my colleague, the Anglican bishop responsible for the diocese in Europe, explained the terror of what was happening, particularly in northern Italy, first of all, at that time. That terrible experience of direct burial or direct cremation, when people were taken straight from the ward to burial or cremation, with no possibility of a farewell, with no possibility of interaction with a member of their family, no possibility in many cases even of very much being said in the way of prayers. And of course, as always in these circumstances, there are some who suffer more than others. And I recall too the poor of America, the impoverished and destitute of New York being buried in those communal mass graves. How could that be? How can that be? And what can we do when we find ourselves in the face of such a situation? And I recall perhaps also reflection on how this might have three phases, on how the first phase might be to do with suppression of the virus. And then a medical expert telling me that the second phase would be about coexistence, and that could last anything between 2 and 5 years. And then after that, eradication. Eradication not of the virus, but eradication of the threat, to the result, to the point that we would be able to recover from it. And all of those things, I suppose, are unfinished narratives. In different places, they continue in different ways. But our purpose in being here this morning is to reflect upon how that has impacted on our own community, to give thanks for those things that have been done well, to give thanks for Providence in bringing us through this, and to commend those whom we have lost to Almighty God. And perhaps if I go back also to February and March and April and to discussions in Tynwald and to the role that government was called to play, how do you respond to something like this that is constantly changing? How do you demonstrate that you have that ability to engage with it and bring it under control? Well, that is really, really difficult, because constantly the pattern is changing, the picture is shifting, and one responds as best one can. And as I think back to what government have done for us, I reflect on many things, on the state of emergency, on the invoking of the Emergency Powers Act of 1936, on the great and complex and difficult question of bringing our people back, of repatriating people, of getting them back here safely, of managing our borders, of the daily briefings and the press statements, the lockdown, that strange experience of being able to go nowhere in the midst of what seemed in one sense like summer, but was also like the midst of winter. And then the reopening, the gradual unlocking, the managing of the speed of that process. And within all of that, the phenomenon, as Mr. President reminded us, I think, the first time we met remotely, the phenomenon of the world's oldest continuous parliament, possibly being the world's first parliament to meet remotely. Well, I leave it for historians to make the final judgment on that. But there was something about that that was a very powerful experience, about how one draws on that millennium of democratic tradition and puts it, admittedly, into a new context, admittedly to face a different sort of challenge, but drawing nonetheless on those same principles, those principles of compassion, those principles of care, those principles of inclusivity, and attempting through all of that to strike that balance, that almost impossible balance, between those who would err on the side of caution and those who would not. And through all of that, we have come, and we have come well, and we know that. And if we look at how others are still struggling, then we can in many ways be deeply grateful, deeply thankful, and I would suggest also deeply proud. And then inevitably our own deaths, our own fatalities, which had to come and which did come individually and in groups, and in many cases those are people whom we remember as we gather this morning. And I reflect on the strange experience of taking a physically distanced funeral, of speaking to grieving relatives at a distance across a grave, knowing there were others who wanted to be there but couldn't, knowing that perhaps they were listening in by a different means, but knowing too that the important thing was being done, that prayers were being said, and that those people were being remembered before God. And so we do something like that this morning, and we trust that somehow good will be the final goal of ill, to pangs of nature, sins of will, defects of doubt and taints of blood, that nothing walks with aimless feet, that not one life shall be destroyed or cast as rubbish to the void when God hath made the pile complete, that not a worm is cloven in vain, not a moth with vain desire is shriveled in a fruitless fire, or but subserves another's gain. Behold, we know not anything. I can but trust that good shall fall at last, far off, at last to all, and every winter change to spring. So out of the winter of grief and of sadness, there comes, we pray, a spring of new birth. And as we light a candle for each of our departed, so we are reminded of the light in the darkness, of the light that is the light of Easter, and of the upward rising of that flame as our prayer rises upwards to God. These are people, each one of them, made by God, created by God, known to God, loved by God, and now in our hearts offered back to God in that eternal love that is God's alone. And as we remember them, we think perhaps of the meaning of that word remembrance, not just an act of the mind, but an act of the heart, an act of the soul, an act of the spirit, an act of love. And thinking of them and commending them lovingly to God, we think too of those who have worked for the good of us all, the key workers to whom we give thanks over this weekend, all who have worked in health and in care for one another, the work of local communities that each in their own way looked after one another, perhaps that traffic light system to indicate where help was needed, the contacts, the phone calls, the emails, those ways of just looking after one another and caring. And that possibly is the greatest tribute of all, that when communities come together like that and look out for each other, something wonderful is happening, something wonderful is being done. And I gave thanks for the work of faith communities, for the work of all faith communities. And I had the deepest admiration for my Islamic brothers and sisters, many of whom were doing deeply demanding and pressurized jobs as key workers, and were called upon to keep Ramadan, the month of the fast, at that most challenging time of the year when the days were long and the nights were short. All of us, each of us, will have had our own challenges, and we will have known people for whom these months were deeply challenging. We hold that in our hearts, and we give thanks for those key workers, for those health workers and for others who kept food on the shelves, who kept the post going, who kept, as it were, the show on the road, who kept faith, who kept hope, and who kept goodwill surviving, in our community. For all of that, thanks be to God indeed. And I reflect finally, perhaps, on Easter Day when I went into government buildings and gave a short reflection around what I thought was important at that time. And I drew on the military doctrine of the moral component. And I won't go through that again now, other simply than to say, really, you summarize it like this. You can have the best equipment in the world. You can have the best plans and processes in the world. But what really matters, what will make the difference, is the moral component. That is, your people. The people who, in their hearts and in their will, keep going. And it is that that will make all the difference. And I think I still stand by that, that what has brought us through this is surely extremely good planning and processes and work on the part of government and civil service and key workers and health and all of those other things that we've mentioned and perhaps haven't. But most of all, it has been that moral component, that will to stand with one another, care for one another, to look out for one another, to support one another, and to keep faithful and hopeful and joyful. And we face a future in which we do not know what will come to us. It may come back again. But if it does, we will meet it with those same things and those same strengths and those same qualities. And we will retain that powerful goodwill and faithfulness and hope. A hope which this morning we hold before one another with thanksgiving and before God with prayer. And perhaps I leave the final word again to Tennyson. Love is and was my Lord and King, and in his presence I attend to hear the tidings of my friend, which every hour his couriers bring. Love is and was my King and Lord, and will be, though as yet I keep within his court on earth, and sleep encompassed by his faithful guard. And here at times a sentinel who moves about from place to place and whispers to the worlds of space in the deep night that all is well.
After a little time for private reflection, the service resumed with the singing of the hymn based on the words of St. Francis of Assisi, "Make me a channel of your peace."
Oh, man.
time of prayer. First, a prayer for Tynwald, led by the Venerable Andy Brown in his capacity as chaplain to the House of Keys. Then, the chaplain to the Mayor of Douglas, Monsignor John Devine, invites members of the council and representatives of the commissioners to stand as he leads prayers for them. Reverend Dawn Mather leads the United Reformed Church on the island. She's also a hospital chaplain, and in this service will lead prayer for the Isle of Man's National Health Service. Churches Alive in Man is an ecumenical group made up of the island's Christian denominations, working together for the good of the community. Bob Jevons is secretary of the group and will pray for the island's key workers. Pastor Jonathan Stanfield is lead pastor of Living Hope Church. His prayer today is for those who are most vulnerable to the virus. And then the Archdeacon leads the congregation in a concluding prayer.
Do please sit, unless you're a member of Tynwald, in which case I'd like you to remain standing. And as your chaplain, I'm going to lead us in prayer for you, and prayer with thanksgiving for your careful stewardship of our island and its people this year. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, to whom we must all give account, guide with your spirit Tynwald in all its parts, that we may be faithful to the mind of Christ and seek in all our purposes to enrich our common life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the members of Douglas Borough Council and representatives of the commissioners to stand as we pray. Caring God, guide with your Holy Spirit all the members and officers of Douglas Borough Council and all the local commissioners of this island, that they may be faithful to your loving purpose for all people and seek in all their decisions to enrich the common life of the communities in their care. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who sets our example of selfless service. Amen.
Everlasting God, at this time we lift to you those from all nations and backgrounds who work in healthcare on this island. Give them skill and wisdom in their work. Be their strength and their shield, as they give of themselves in the care of others.
Amen. We pray now for the key workers and ask them to stand. As in our places of prayer and worship, we've been praying week by week, so now we give thanks to Almighty God for all key workers who have served us in difficult times. O God of hope, we commend to your protection all those key workers who were putting themselves at risk as they attended to the needs of other people. We thank them for their courage and compassion. We pray that your Holy Spirit will support and encourage them, and that they may know the strength of your healing love. We ask this for your tender mercy's sake. Amen.
We now pray for those most vulnerable to this virus. God of our pilgrimage, may your kingdom come with deliverance for the needy, with peace for the righteous, with overflowing blessings for all nations, with glory and honor and praise for Christ, the only Savior. Amen.
We draw this brief time of prayer to a close as we pray together in darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy. Help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Amen.
During the next hymn, the Archdeacon hands the standards back to the bearers as the congregation sings, God is our strength and refuge, our present help in trouble, set to a very familiar tune.
go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Aspaniat Iuli Natal, in Erimach Spirit Nul, Durani Mastias de Hantimeriu, Eson di Brac. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.
And with the singing of our national anthem and a blessing from the Lord Bishop, that concludes the National Service of Reflection recorded this morning in St George's Church, the civic church of the capital town of Douglas. The service was led by the Venerable Andy Brown, Vicar of St George's and Chaplain to the House of Keys, in the presence of Mr Speaker and the Chief Minister, with members of Council and members of the Legislature, alongside the Chief Constable, the Chief Fire Officer, the Mayor and Mayoress of Douglas, Chief Executives and the Judiciary, local authority representatives and representatives of the island's Christian churches, together with leaders of other world faiths. The organist was Mr. Nicholas Roberts, and the singing was led by St. George's Church Choir, joined by members of the Government Choir. The address was given by the Lord Bishop of Soda and Man and member of the Legislative Council, the Right Reverend Peter Eagles. My thanks to all at St. George's for their help in making this recording, and as always, my thanks to you for listening. This is Judith Lay wishing you a very good evening.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.